And now it's time for Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
When I first heard this music today, I looked at my dad and I said, guess this is going to be the number one hit song all year long, because that's what Ben Johnson said, right? The Bears want to score as many points as possible, the most in NFL history. That's his goal. And they were well on their way towards that today, putting up 34 points against the Cleveland Browns, pulling off the first victory of the preseason and kicking things off. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys here on a Saturday. Happy Saturday, everybody. For those of you traveling home from the Cubs game, bendito, I'm sorry, you know, but I'm going to wash away all your pain and talk a little bit about your Chicago Bears. All right, phone lines are open. We got Clint Klaus producing today. I'm going to be hanging out with you guys all the way up until 7:30. So phone lines are open. And, you know, as always, when I do my Bears post games, I like to get my first caller of the day. And so phone lines are open again, 312-644-6767. That's 312-644-6767. The obvious question that I have, right, because it's the first game of the preseason. Mark Grody and I yesterday, we were broadcasting live from Gallagher Way right before the Cubs game. And both he and I were equally as excited about preseason. I said, if they have a helmet on and it has a C on it, there's jerseys that they're wearing, and there's an opposing team, I'm going to watch it. I could care less about when the timing of it is. I've been waiting 8 months for some Bears football. So for me to be able to not only talk about it, but to watch it is absolutely incredible. So again, phone lines are open. This one was tough, is what I'll say. I know the score says otherwise, right? 34-10. But the Bears went up against Shedeur Sanders that didn't look improved. I'll say that. And then Dillon Gabriel as well. So Deshaun Watson out the gate made the Bears defense look like a preseason second string defense. That's without a doubt. Tyson Bagent from the very beginning looked suspect. Like you thought to yourself, you know, you just gave this guy a bunch of money. You know, why am I feeling this way about Tyson Bagent? But then, you know, obviously he comes, he settles in, finds some guys, and ultimately has you feeling good about, you know, what you saw. Case Keenum, he himself had a fantastic game, 9 for 10, 151 yards, had a 50-yard screen play. So you didn't think it was going to be to Savon Ahmed, and that was the biggest one of the day for him. He had 3 catches, 55 yards. There were a bunch of names that kept popping up. Obviously, a lot of starters weren't necessarily playing in this one, so you got to see a bunch of other people. But Tyson Bagent on the day, 13 for 22, 169 yards, had 1 touchdown, and then 1 bad interception. And I like Tyson Bagent. I got to keep it real. In the post game, it was not a great performance by Tyson. I'm sure he would say the same thing. I know when he got sacked from a bad blocking performance by Jedrick Wills, he was livid. Got roped around the neck, stood up, threw out a couple of curse words. But Tyson Bagent, I'm sure he can't wait to get out there for the second game of the preseason. That one will be next Saturday. Bears will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. That one starts at 6 o'clock. I'm sure we might see, I would think, we might see a little bit of Caleb Williams, at least a series or two, just to kind of get his feet wet before the season starts. If you're looking for what the third game is, the following Saturday after that, you got Bears, Tennessee Titans, that one at 5 o'clock as well. And then, of course, the season kicks off September 13th against the Carolina Panthers. Bears on the road for that one. Bears on the road for a couple of their first games right here, but that one will be interesting. We'll keep a close eye on all of those. But what we're talking about now is we're happy with the fact that the Bears football is back on TV. You were able to watch something. And after being down 10-0, you thought it was going to be a long day. That for sure. But again, you were able to get 3 quarterbacks. Miller Moss ended up cleaning up duty in the latter half of the game. The running back situation looked as bleak as you might have thought going in. Roshan Johnson, 8 rushes for 35 yards, but in the first couple series, he just looked pedestrian. Savon Ahmed came in, 2 rushes for 17 yards. He spelled Roshan. It was right before the end of the first half. They were probably on their own 45-yard line, and then they brought in Sivan Ahmed to really just see what he had in that. They wanted to put him in a situation. Two rushes, 17 yards. Outside of that, Coleman Bennett, 4 rushes for 10 yards. Britton Brown, 5 rushes for 8 yards. Just nobody stood out. I'll tell you that. No one stood out from the Bears running backs in this one after all the tents. And then the receivers is really where the conversation about the Chicago Bears in the preseason gets interesting, because the assumption is that 5 spots are already locked in. So you're battling it out for the 6th. And then, as I was trying to explain to my mom today, as I was watching the game with her, and she's like, oh my God, because it was, who was it that I was explaining? Oh, Maurice Alexander had the touchdown. She got really excited, and I was like, yeah, mom, look how skinny that guy is. That dude might not be here later. And then she was like, what do you mean? And I was trying to explain to her, I was like, a lot of these guys might not be here. She's like, well, why are they playing? I said, well, mom, you know, people get injured. So you want to be able to bring somebody back in that was with you at training camp, understands the offense, and it's easy for that person to slide right in. Well, the Bears have a handful of wide receivers that can fill that 6th spot, right? You have Caden Davis, who a lot of people think, you know, should be able to secure that spot. Ray McLeod, Maurice Alexander, as I mentioned, Scotty Miller, the veteran who's played with a handful of Hall of Fame quarterbacks throughout his career. He's another guy. So there were names there that you saw. You even got a little Sam Roush in there. But again, what we'll do is continue to talk about this one, break the game down. What were the good things that happened? But I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Clint Klaus is on the phones. The question for you is, what did you learn about the Chicago Bears after watching this one? Was it something good where you're like, this is an area where I've pinpointed that I found a gem, or you found, you know, something that you feel like the Bears were exceptionally good at in this preseason? Or maybe you discovered something bad, maybe a reality pill that you had to swallow and realize that maybe this is something you're going to have to deal with for the entirety of the season. 312-644-6767. Looking for that first phone call of the day during this Bears postgame. We're here till 7:30 right here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Brown still has some timeouts with which to work. Clock's going to move down inside of 7. Todd's actually going to take off the headset, and I think they're just going to call it a day. 34-10, final score. Nice showing after a little bit of a sluggish start. Bears looked very sharp at both ends of the field the rest of the way.
That's our guy Adam Amin on the call right there. Bears defeat the Cleveland Browns 34-10 in what is the first preseason game of a long season that we're all going to be following closely. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score, taking your phone calls and reactions. 312-644-6767. But right now, get to hang out for a little bit. But one of my favorites, of course, he is longtime Bears analyst for Fox 32, us right here on 104.3 The Score, covers the Big Ten on the Big Ten Network, Sirius XM. He's all over the place, and a good friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Herron, hanging out with us. What up, Ant?
WL, what's up, my guy? Yeah, good to talk to you, man. Yeah, I'm just listening as I'm driving away from not only just covering the game earlier, pregame over on Fox 32, our friend Kathy Carlson. We just finished up postgame a few minutes ago, and looking forward to chatting with you too, man.
Of course, because I know on TV we don't have enough time to say what we really want to say, so that's why we get to talk about it now. So, and let's forget the final score for a second. All right, Bears were down 10-0 in this one, and then obviously scored 34 unanswered. What do you feel like changed, even in a preseason game? Was it the Bears being a little bit more physical, or do you think it had more to do with Cleveland just kind of falling apart?
I like the way that the run game did seem to start coming to life a little bit. And I heard you mention it earlier in the show with Tyson Bagent. He was shaky early in the game. He started to get some rhythm as he got more snaps. But Case Keenum was extremely sharp with the way he was able to operate the offense. And the run game got going as well. So that tends to set up everything. And Ben Johnson mentioned something after the game that he doesn't tend to sort of lead with it beforehand and give everybody that inkling. But I loved hearing the fact that Antoine Randle got to take over play calling in the second half. And this is something now where, you know, we got the initial glimpse at Ben Johnson, his leadership style, everything that he kind of did in his first year as Bears coach. And one of the things that, you know, we're still kind of getting a feel for him here in year two, but I love now that there are several examples of Ben Johnson being very intentional with his assistants, with his coordinators, and just making sure that there are opportunities for them to showcase what they could be, the advancement that the Bears have talked about wanting to be about at the executive level and at the assistant coach level. So Antoine Randall, who I spent years chasing him around in high school in the old Pacific West Conference here in the Chicago area, then all around the Big Ten, and I was at Iowa and he's at IU. And now he's become such a respected assistant coach at multiple NFL stops. But one of the things Ben Johnson referenced is that there are certain position groups that you coach that don't necessarily get the type of acclaim for what they might be able to turn into. I think offensively, running back coaches don't tend to be guys, and we know how impactful Eric Bieniemy's been as a running back coach, but you know, as an offensive coordinator, there's been kind of a moniker attached to him, and he hasn't gotten the head coach opportunities. And wide receiver coach is another one where they just kind of look at it as you're coaching a position group on offense that maybe you don't have to manage schematically all the things associated with truly being a play caller. So I'm glad that Ben Johnson is being intentional about making sure that whether it's been Al Harris on the Bears defense coaching the secondary, but getting some opportunities to call defense at various points in the preseason. And we saw it happen with Declan Doyle, and now we're seeing it happen with Antoine Randall. Assistance on offense, getting those in-game reps, even though it's a preseason game, but getting the reps in game action to be able to show what he's capable of. And frankly, just the opportunity for that on-the-job training that can lead you to advancement. So I loved hearing that from Ben Johnson.
It's so much more important than we actually give it credit for, right? And not just because you're creating that culture in the organization, like, hey, we lift each other up, we all support one another. But in the grand scheme of things, right, in life in general, you're not given those opportunities. People are like, okay, well, how do you become the offensive coordinator? Well, if you're, you know, woven into the NFL and you are coaching the wide receivers, how are you supposed to be given those opportunities? So you love the fact that Ben Johnson is sitting there and giving these guys the opportunities. I heard him also mention it, that the players responded well to it. How do you think, if you're, you know, going through the preseason, obviously you know how difficult that time of year is, not only for the players, but for the coaches to get all on the same page. How impactful do you think it is to the players to have them get behind the notion that, hey, Antoine's going to be calling the play, so now you got to get a little, not that you have to tell them to get more hyped up, but the players themselves probably feel that, and you heard Ben mention it.
Well, it's just one way to break up some of the monotony that can be there during training camp, during preseason practices, where you give a different voice in the ears of the quarterback, you give a different play caller that's sending plays into the huddle offensively. And, of course, Ben Johnson, we obviously know, he is one of the top offensive minds in the sport. So the plays that are going in are going to be plays that Ben Johnson has drawn up and designed. But for the players themselves, where certainly they're playing hard regardless, but when you just have the same plays from the same guy and you're going against the same body that you've gone against pretty frequently over these last few weeks, it can be something that's a little bit more monotonous. But when the players know, oh, this is an opportunity not only for me to put good film out there, but I want to show up for Coach L. Like, Ben Johnson gives a lot of responsibility to Antoine Randall, where he's leading team meetings at times. He's addressing the team throughout the season with motivational thoughts, with, you know, points of focus and emphasis for the full team at various points. The players know him and respect him. So the fact that they know, all right, he's got the headset, he's sending it in to the quarterback, I do think that adds a little bit of extra juice and, you know, allows players to feel like, yeah, I'm showing up, not just for myself, but for Coach L when that opportunity comes.
I know, it's so important. I can imagine how, like, motivated I'd be if I saw something like that. Like, yeah, we're all winning. We're all, you know, going to be hyped up. And maybe that needed to be the case for the offensive line. And, you know, when you're looking at this one in particular, obviously a lot of people looking at the left tackle position. Bears ran the ball for 82 yards and 21 carries. Bajan was sacked twice. What was your takeaway from the offensive line. You saw Logan Jones, obviously, you know, getting some work in the very beginning. Just eye test things that you're. What were your takeaways from the offensive line?
Logan Jones comported himself really well at the center position, getting his first career action. You know, got the start like you mentioned because Garrett Bradbury, barring injury, he will be the Bears' opening game starter at center. But they have drafted their center of the future, so it's good to see Logan Jones get some action. He held up just fine inside, but of course, the tackle position and specifically the left tackle is where a lot of our eyes were trained. And for me, by the time I end up joining the midday show on Monday, I'll be on with Raheemy Harris and Brody at 11 o'clock on Monday. I'll have gone through the film through, you know, what for now my eyes at this point, just a live viewing, watching the TV copy and game. I'll have taken a more detailed look at it by the time I get on with them on Monday. But a lot of times offensive tackles are judged. And Ben Johnson has said it himself. A lot of times guys are judged by just how you hold up one-on-one in pass protection. And there can be one or two snaps in a game that you lose that completely reshapes the way that your film is viewed. I thought Jedrick Wills found himself in that position because overall, if he got, and I don't know, I'm sure I got Fishing Business probably put the snap counts out. I don't know, if he got 30 snaps in the game, roughly, he won more snaps than he lost from my eye. But he, of course, did give up a critical sack of Tyson Bagent. That matters. And by comparison, Karan Amagaji, I do think overall, you saw the way he's moving, how limber, mobile he is on a consistent basis. And I thought he held up really well, not only as a run blocker, but as a pass protector. The length of his arms, the confidence of his strike, getting into his set. I thought Karan Amagaji looked really good. For Jedrick Wills, you know, who knows where he's at physically. I thought Jim Miller, Stacey Dales, Adam Amin, they all at various points just talked about the road of recovery that Jedrick Wills has gone through. And I've talked to you about my knees in the past. I've been putting off an osteotomy on my left knee for years at this point. It's a cataclysmic procedure on your lower body that's a lot to try and work through and recover from. And I've been retired for years, and I don't want to get an osteotomy, even though it might make my legs feel better. So Jedrick Wills, he's not the athlete that he was when he was a top 10 pick, but can he get back to the point where he's got the confidence and the suddenness in his lower body to really move and plant and push off in the way that he needs to? It seems like it's still an ongoing road for him, but, you know, he's a potential depth piece for the Bears. And like I said, I think he won more reps than he lost in the game, but Karan Amagaji, to his credit, he certainly did look better more consistently than Wills did in the game today.
Yeah, it was good the fact that he was even just out there, right? I mean, we've been hearing his name for so many years now, so to actually get to see him in some action is great. We're talking fresh off of the postgame on Fox 32. Anthony Herron hanging out with us here on 104.3 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez. And you obviously, you know, play defense. You were a defensive lineman. So when you go back and look at this tape that you'll be talking about tomorrow on the midday show here on 104.3 The Score, you know, what were things that were aggravating to you as a defensive lineman, you know, from that tackle that you were lined up opposite of? Like, what were things that they did that you were like, damn, I hate it when this tackle does this? What would that be for you?
Well, some of the most effective offensive tackles, they do a really good job of varying their pass sets. You know, some guys will kind of be big kick sliders where they'll set deeper and it gives you a chance to get them on an island. But then after you've gotten used to them kick sliding a little deeper, then they'll hit you with a jump set here and there. And that's what some of the veteran tackles can do. It's one of the things that Darnell Wright, now that he's gotten deeper into his career, really saw him doing an effective job of that for the Bears as their right tackle last year, where, yes, he's a huge and a remarkably athletic guy for his size, but he began to get a lot more crafty with the way that he could vary his pass sets. And even though he was a guy operating, he was playing kind of one-armed for much of the season last year when he got that elbow injury, but I saw Darnell Wright start to hit guys with a variety of pass sets, just kind of keeping defenders off balance. That's one of the things that works in tandem with Ben Johnson's offense, because even though we didn't see much motion in the Bears' offense today, but that's one of the things that the Bears can throw at you just to impact the pass rush and make the lives of their offensive linemen that much more simple when the defenders, as they're trying to come out of their stance and rush the quarterback, don't really know what's going to hit them. It's one of the things like Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts offense used to do really well back in the day. It was really frustrating playing against them with a lot of the sprints the boots, the occasional hurry up, the drop back, the play action game. If you've got an offense and an offensive tackle, especially, that's just throwing different things at you as a pass rusher, you can't necessarily pin your ears back as rapidly and as consistently. But, you know, one nice moment for Tyson Bagent showed up where they had lost some yards on the previous snap. He went hard count, got the defense to jump off sides, and just got a few quick, easy yards for the offense. That's a veteran version now of Tyson Bagent, a little bit deeper in his career, just getting some cheap yards for the offense after they had lost some on the previous snap. So those are the things beyond just the physical of an offensive lineman, but the whole scheme and the way that an opponent can attack you mentally is one of the things that can frustrate an opposing defensive front.
I want to talk defense a little bit with you before we get you up out of here, man. There was names that I wrote down, and then there were names that I put in bold, right? So I wrote down a lot of names, but there were a few that were bold for me, and I want to rattle off three, and then I want you to either, you know, mention them or tell me which one of those three stood out the most to you. Of course, you got Jeremy Akroma, obviously made the strip stack, the recovery, that was huge. Savon Ahmed, or excuse me, on the defensive side, I'll stay. Malik Muhammad will be my second one that I'd mention for you. And then a Jack Sanborn. I felt like it was good seeing him back out there, making plays, doing what he normally does in a Bears jersey. So those are my three names for you. Did those three kind of make your list as well as you were watching the game?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll run through each one kind of briefly here. For Jeremy Akroma, I thought he was exceptional as a left end throughout most of the game. And in addition to that strip sack, he was living in the backfield throughout the game, even just getting other hits on the quarterback, too. He had a really impactful day. Then later in the game, we saw him rush the right edge, too. And he was doing his thing over there also. So, I mean, he's one of those guys who's really going to stand out when the coaches go back and evaluate the film more closely. You saw his impact even there in live game action. For Malik Muhammad, you think back to Kyler Gordon's rookie year, where when he was playing the nickel, he had been a slot defender just a little bit in college, hadn't done it a lot at Washington. So his rookie season, when he's playing there for the Bears, it's so inexperienced, not only at the NFL level, but just as a nickel, there was a lot for him to learn, and opponents attacked him. Malik Muhammad, if he ends up staying playing in the slot role as a defender, going to be a lot for him to learn. And that showed today where you're just trying to find the right angle to react and to pursue from, and your eyes can play tricks on you when you're not used to being that close to the action, that close to the line of scrimmage. But I really liked, even though he's a guy who's maybe around 180 pounds, but he's got some physicality to him. He's got some feistiness with the way he tackles, with the way that ball carriers, pass receivers go backwards on impact. I just like the feistiness that he seemed to bring to the field, made some nice tackles in space. Yes, he was a little bit late, a little bit behind, trying to, you know, track and trace some guys in motion a few times. But I really like what I saw from him because he didn't seem timid in the way that he played. And Jack Sanborn, with the way that Devin Bush is going to be one of the smaller Mike linebackers we've seen from the Bears of recent vintage, he can get engulfed and overwhelmed at times when he's playing the run in the box. His speed and athleticism is going to show up plenty. But having Jack Sanborn out there next to him, that's going to be something I think that will pay dividends for the Bears, because Sanborn, T.J. Edwards, these are guys that are really physical and instinctive as linebackers in a way that Devin Bush really isn't. So Sanborn's a guy that can add the physicality that might be missing at the linebacker core if he or T.J. Edwards isn't out there, or whenever one of them is paired up with either DeMarco Jackson or Devin Bush, who are really guys who make their game based more off speed as linebackers as opposed to physicality.
It's so cool to see, you know, the linebacking core where – you know, doing what we're used to here in Chicago, right? Meeting guys at the line of scrimmage, tackle for losses. Like, that's what we expect, and I think we'll get a lot of that with that trio that you just mentioned right there. And before I let you go, I got to ask you about this sixth wide receiver. Obviously, we're watching preseason, so we get a lot of opportunities to watch guys and their pass-catching abilities. There are a lot of names there, and I'm sure some might make their way onto the roster as the season, you know, goes on. We know injuries are inevitable. But in your mind, was there anyone that stood out, or you just feel like you got a handful of guys that could kind of take that spot for you?
Well, I mean, Caden Davis certainly stood out. He's been standing out all throughout camp. When you watch him, he's just making plays constantly. And while he's inexperienced as far as the potential regular season action goes, he's been through camps, and he's played in the UFL. So he's gotten live game reps that can continue to sort of just enhance your game speed, the confidence that you play with when you've been in critical competition, even if it hasn't been at the NFL level. He's just several years removed from playing college football, and so you just get more physically and mentally game after the college level. So Caden Davis, very impressive. Now, does that mean he ends up being a Tanner Gentry type where, you know, he's a guy who's had kind of impressive preseasons before but never really broke through in a regular season lineup? We've seen that before with the Bears, Scrapper Gentry, like I used to call him. Or is he potentially a guy who can be like a Jahdae Walker, who was just so impressive in the preseason, sticks around during the regular season, and then once Jahdae Walker got that regular season opportunity, he was ready to seize it and became a critical playmaker for the Bears late in the regular season and into the postseason last year. So I don't know which one, which version of that Caden Davis is yet, but he's out of the guys who really haven't had a role in the Bears' offense yet. He's definitely been the one who stands out most from a wide receiver position.
Love hearing that, and hopefully they can all contribute at some point throughout the season. Hey, I appreciate you texting me, man, and jumping on. I always love talking Bears football with you.
Yeah, man, couldn't miss an opportunity to chop it up real quick, Gabe. Appreciate you,
man. That's what's up, man. I hope Bishop's doing well. I hope the family's doing well.
Thank you, my guy.
Got you. All right, Anthony Heron from Fox 32, us right here on 104.3 The Score. Don't forget, as he mentioned, you're going to go ahead and be able to chat with or hear him on the Midday Show on Monday as he hangs out and discusses all things Chicago Bears. We're discussing all things Chicago Bears right now with you. Phone lines are open. You heard Ant talking about it. I want to know what you had to say. We all watched preseason with the same two eyes, right? Like one that is dead set on trying to find a gem. And you heard Caden Davis being brought up. You heard Jeremy Cromer being brought up. There's names that are out there. If you have any questions also, maybe, you know, you're not as familiar with the roster and you're like, hey, Gabe, who was the dude that did the thing in the third quarter? Like, call me up too. We're going to discuss it all. 312-644-6767. More Bears breakdown on the other side right here on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score. Happy Saturday. Hopefully you guys are enjoying yourselves. It got a little bit better because the Bears won 34-10. First preseason game of the year. Ben Johnson was in midseason form, though, just looking grumpy as ever. Got no problem with that, though. I like my guys locked in. He was smiling on a couple of fourth down conversions. That we do know for sure. Well, for those of you that are riding around the city, handling business and running errands and going to baby showers and birthday parties, and you didn't get a chance to watch that 12 o'clock start on a Saturday, well, guess what? Lucky for you, your boy's about to break it down. All right. So the Bears obviously sat, you know, plenty of familiar names in their preseason opener. And early on in this one, it kind of looked like Cleveland would just, you know, take advantage and run away with the whole thing. You saw Deshaun Watson. You can say what you want about him, but, you know, against a bunch of second and third stringers, this guy did win a national championship. He is that dude. And he hadn't played in a couple years, so he looked a little rusty, but for the most part, he ended up handling business. But they fell behind 10-0. And then Chicago, whatever happened, flipped the afternoon. I don't know what got into him. I tried to ask Anthony Heron about it. But, you know, the game certainly went in their favor. The Bears ended up scoring 34 straight points and really just getting contributions from almost everyone. So how did this whole thing start up? Cleveland, again, it felt like they controlled most of the opening quarter. That's what it felt like to me. And, you know, on the very first snap in the second quarter, rookie KC Concepcion gets the ball coming across the formation. He finds the edge and stays on his feet for a 14-yard touchdown.
Here's a little trickery for Concepcion. He's working from the receiver spot on the rush, trying to get to the end zone, and he does. KC Concepcion, they are very excited about having this rookie, number 24 pick out of Texas A&M.
As mentioned, Cleveland up 10-0 early in this one, but that's when the game changed just a bit. So if you're looking for the play that really turned this game around, right, like how did things end up in favor of the Chicago Bears? Well, it came from someone that is fighting for a roster spot. Remember the name. Jahmyr Cromer gets to Deshaun Watson and makes the most of the opportunity.
Watson running out of time. That ball gets knocked out of his hands. And sure enough, right on cue, a takeaway for the Bears defense. It was knocked away by Jahmyr Cromer. and he picks it up for Chicago.
Really the beginning of a monster afternoon for Kroma. Two sacks, three tackles for a loss, a forced fumble, and the recovery right there mentioned by Adam Amin. But more importantly, it felt like the Bears had some life in them after that, right? And the offense certainly had to cash in immediately. Four plays after the takeaway, Tyson Bagent and the Bears already threatening.
Alexander on the cross. He's in. Another preseason game. Another Maurice Alexander touchdown.
Bagent finds Maurice Alexander, really just working across the middle. Alexander did the rest, 25 yards to the house, and suddenly felt like the Bears were right back in it, right? And Bagent's afternoon, as I was talking about a bit ago, wasn't perfect, but he did finish the half with 169 yards, and Chicago felt like it seemed as though they had a rhythm that was going. Then, before the first half, Bagent wasn't finished. Two big completions to Kaden Davis, another name you should be having locked in your brain when you're thinking about that sixth wide receiver spot for the Chicago Bears. And the whole thing would finish as Kaden would be the Bears' leading receiver. Four catches, 88 yards, and ended up before the half putting the Bears in a position to get something done.
Missed a 50-yarder earlier. He'll try this one from 51, and he'll sneak this one good. The clock expires, and the game is tied at 10 as we hit the halftime break in Chicago.
You heard Adam Amin, tied at 10 at the half. And then that's when Case Keenum entered. It was funny, too, when Cairo missed the first one. If you were watching, it was a 50-yarder, and you thought to yourself, okay, this is what preseason's about. Go ahead, Cairo, do your thing. And then they talked about how he had hit more, you know, the broadcaster jinx. He had hit more 50-yard field goals than anyone in Bears history, surpassing Robbie Gould, and then his ass misses one. It was just, like, poetic in that moment. But I'm glad that he was able to bounce back and knock one down before halftime. So second half kicks off, first possession of the third quarter for the Chicago Bears, and Case Keenum finds a guy who might find his way into that RB3 role.
Savon Ahmed taking it on that check down. What a cutback. Off of a foot injury, trying to make a name for himself. It's a touchdown for Savon Ahmed.
Case Keenum, it was really a screenplay, kind of booted out to the right, ended up going back to the left side. We see that a lot in the NFL nowadays. And really, Ahmed just created really everything. You know, he slid across the field. It wasn't as though it was right down the sideline. He found his way, wiggled a little bit out, break some tackles, reversed fields, and then ultimately found daylight. 49 yards, big touchdown. Bears with the first lead of the game, 17-10 right there. And Case Keenum had himself a day. 9 for 10, 151 yards, two touchdowns, and a perfect quarterback rating. I'm sure not only Ben Johnson, Case Keenum, they were all happy with everything that was going there. But it felt like, you know, the Bears had the momentum going, but then there came a point when Cleveland, you know, had an answer, or at least they thought they did. Shedeur Sanders takes over for Cleveland after this big stop by their defense.
In regular season, who knows if you do go for a play like this, depending on how aggressive you might want to be, you might bring the field goal unit out. But in this situation, preseason, there's no reason not to try for it. They'll run that fourth and short play. It'll be a run play. It'll be a stop for the Chicago defense yet again.
Good stuff there. Shedeur Sanders takes over for Cleveland. Really had a good drive going in the moment. Browns move the ball all the way down the field to the Bears' 5-yard line. Fourth and one, and you're excited when you see things like that from the Bears' defensive line. It felt like the defense just caved it in that moment. Turnover on downs, and who was there in that moment? Again, Kroma involved again. Amani Marshall was the guy who got caught short of the sticks. And Cleveland, again, they'd driven the entire field. I'm sure they wanted to get some points up in that moment, but unfortunately didn't necessarily get it. Well, later in the third quarter, Case Keenum felt like I mentioned, with going 9 for 10, felt like he was carving up the Browns from every direction. Then on fourth and two, Bears ended up going for it, but they ended up getting a different result.
Looking left, throwing left, wide open, touchdown, Britton Brown.
It's just easy. He crosses it. He knows what he's seeing. It's an easy pitch and catch. He sees the defense is out leveraged due to the coverage. And that's because he's played a lot of football. He's come with a lot of starts, and he can pass that long. And that's what Tyson Bagent talked to us about. He goes, I want to get really fast at my process. This guy, Case Keenum, right here, is so fast at his process. He knows what the defense is already in. He knows what the coverage is. I know I'm going to the flat right now. Step, easy throw, touchdown.
Professional quarterback, that's what you want as your backup. Case Keenum's second passing touchdown of the quarter, 6-yard shot right there. And then on 4th and 2, what I was mentioning earlier, he hit Ray McCloud for a 28-yard drive that was great. Felt like it kept the drive alive. Things were going. Again, there was momentum in different places for the Chicago Bears team. But at that point, Bears were up 24-10. And then by the fourth quarter, the Bears defense had what seemed like completely taken over. Beanie Bishop picked off both Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel. The first interception was during a Caleb Williams interview, which I thought was hilarious. And then Chicago tacked on another Cairo Santos field goal. That's when it made it 27-10. And then on the final possession, Cole Bennett gets the football near the goal line.
This Coleman Bennett breaks a tackle. Got run it. Game, touchdown.
Touchdown.
That was all him. That was all him on that play. Good effort by Bennett.
Just like that, Bears get the touchdown, and it turned a 10-0 deficit into 34 unanswered points. And I get it. Preseason, you can say what you want. And you can't take away from the fact that the beginning of the game was mediocre at best, right? So, yeah, all right, your Case Keenum, the guy who's been in the league forever, playing against third and fourth stringers, came through. Good. That's what you're supposed to do in those situations, right? That's what you want from this Bears team. It's no longer, I hope they win or I hope they can do things. It's no. They are good and they should beat bad teams. They should be better than second and third stringers. I mean, that's what you should take away from something like this. So was it a complete preseason? You can make your arguments. There were certainly moments. Bears outgained Cleveland 430 to 314 yards. They forced 3 turnovers. Case Keenum posts the perfect passer rating, as I mentioned. Jeremy Kroma, I mean, when you're looking for – it's funny because you see people being like, hey, they're wondering about the defensive line, and look at this guy. It's like, hey, yes, I'm here for that. This is exactly what happens during Bears preseason. You find your guy, right? We all have our guy that it might be Caden Davis for you, the wide receiver. It might be Scotty Miller. If you want the Wiley vet, but you got Khalif Raymond, you got Ray Ray there as well. But Scotty's more of a possession kind of a guy. Maurice Alexander, the wide receiver, you saw McCain Davis dropped an easy one as he saw some footsteps coming towards him. Maurice Alexander, similar situation where, you know, he dropped just, if you want to make the team and you want to make it, you know, undoubtable, then you got to come up with plays like that. But again, it was a tough one from that one. The Bears opened the preseason again with a 34-10 win over the Browns. And again, there were names that stood out in this one. I talked about Malik Muhammad a second ago. Savon Ahmed, the running back from Miami, you know, comes over with a little bit of familiarity. And we'll talk about the running back room in the next break, but there is concern for me. I can't get away from, and I get it. Stacey Dales was on the call this afternoon, and I had the chance to talk to Stacey Dales when I filled in on Mullion Hall earlier in the week. And she was talking about how DeAndre Swift is playing, or his preseason looks like that of a pro bowler. Then I talked to Herb Howard yesterday, our 104.3 The Score Bears insider during training camp. And he talked about how incredible DeAndre Swift looked. So I get that. And I get Kyle Manungai. You love the combo. I get it. But last year I didn't, right? And the health was there for both of them. They were ready to play. It just feels incomplete. I'm here for the productivity. I know what they did last year in Ben Johnson's offense. I get it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that I can't be skeptical about who follows those two individuals. And what we once thought was going to be a Roschon Johnson. And if you watch the game today, he's not who he was when the Bears first brought him here. And I'm sorry, Roschon, if you're listening or your people are listening, but it's true. If I was your boy or if I was having an intimate conversation, I'd be like, yo, do you feel like things are a little off? You know, you got the guardian cap on, you know, and that is the strength of who you are as an individual, running people over. Then, again, it's tough because I can't imagine there being an injury in the Bears being comfortable with handing the ball to a Roschon Johnson. there was a guy, another guy that didn't get a lot of love in terms of mentioning on the defensive side, but it was John Rattigan, a linebacker that the Bears ended up grabbing. You want to just see who's making the plays, who's making the tackles. And he was a guy who ended up getting some action a little bit later on, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Want to hear your thoughts. I know it's preseason game one. Maybe that's why I'm doing this show, because I am extremely excited about this one. Seeing the Bears play was great to me. Watching all these games that are happening across the NFL, it just lets you know that real football is closer than you can imagine, and I can't wait to get to it. But let's go out to the phone. Let's go to Bob out in Chicago. Bob, who was somebody that you ended up watching today that you felt like really stood out?
Hi, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call.
Always, Bob.
I'm interested. I really like Sanborn in his prior experience with the Bears. Hated to see him leave, and now he's back. What role do you see him playing for the Bears this year?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. Listen, Jack Sanborn is an individual who, once he got an opportunity with the Bears, you noticed immediately that he was in the truest sense, a football player. Didn't matter his – don't tell me his combine numbers. Don't tell me how tall, how much he weighs, how much he bench presses. Don't tell me that. Just put on the tape and let me watch Jack Sanborn, and you can look at him and say, well, damn, that's a gamer right there. And so, obviously, he goes to Dallas with Eberflus. Doesn't necessarily make the impact that he once did here with the Bears. But think about what it says, Bob, about you as an individual when you're able to leave this team, okay? A new regime takes over. Ben Johnson is here. Ben Johnson don't know nothing about no Jack Sanborn. And all of a sudden, whether it's Ryan Poles or just the individuals that were there, they're able to say, this is a guy. This is a dude that can make an impact. And so we know he can attack the middle. You know you got DeMarco Jackson, Devin Bush, TJ Edwards. So his role on this team, let's be very clear, Devin Bush and TJ Edwards are the guys. After that, it could be easy to supplant a DeMarco Jackson. You got a Ruben Hippolyte. You got the guy that I just mentioned, John Rattigan. So when you're talking about who has snaps, who can be effective, Jack Sanborn can be that guy, not just on your special teams if, in fact, he ends up contributing there. But he's a guy, if TJ goes down, Bush goes down, someone that can step up and you would feel extremely comfortable. Not that he's going to be a world beater, right? Not comfortable that he's going to be the guy that's going to improve your defense, but there might not be the drop off that you would expect with a backup linebacker coming in. So to me, Bob, he is a surefire candidate to make this team and contribute on a high level on this defense. And where he'll pair, I mean, listen, you got no Kyler Gordon, you know Malik Muhammad's going to slide into that nickel role, but when you're not playing nickel, maybe you do lean on a Jack Sanborn or DeMarco Jackson because you have speed there now. Right, that's the biggest difference between this linebacker group this year and last year. You hear Devin Bush, a speedy guy. DeMarco Jackson, everything along those lines. So that's what we get right there. So, Bob, appreciate the phone call. We're going to take more calls, 312-644-6767. Want to know what names stood out to you during this preseason, and what did you learn about your Chicago Bears, good or bad? 312-644-6767. We're going Brian first and everybody else that's on hold. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you talking Bears after their 34-10 victory against the Cleveland Browns right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Still Deshaun Watson at quarterback. He'll float it for Dylan Sampson and nowhere to go. And what do you know? The rookie Malik Muhammad stays right on cue.
Love it. And that's what you got. And that's what you want, right? You want your guys to come in, play at a high level, feel the energy, feel the emotion. Ben Johnson talked about how he was really pleased with the Bears' victory today and all the elements that really went into it. When we're talking about the offense, Bears put up 430 total offensive yards. I love hearing things like that because it doesn't sound weird, right? Where you're used to your Bears quarterback pulling in maybe 200 yards in the rushing game, maybe 150. So you're in the 350 total range, and you're like, ah. Bears had 348 passing yards on the day. split between three quarterbacks. Of course, as I mentioned, Tyson Bagent, 13 for 22 on the day for 169. Case Keenum, 9 for 10 for 151 and two touchdowns, a perfect passer rating. And then last but not least, came in at the very end, Miller Moss. Of course, the quarterback from Louisville came in 3 for 8, 48 yards on this one. Bears had 82 yards on the ground. Third down percentage, they were 33% there. Bears had 3 sacks, 2 interceptions, both by a guy that you might be hearing a lot from, Beanie Bishop, picked off both Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel in this one. And then, of course, Jeremy Croma had the fumble, forced fumble on Deshaun Watson a little bit over there. But, again, the Bears take the victory 34-10. They were down 10-0 initially and then ended up putting up 34 straight points in this one. Deshaun Watson on the other side, 11 for 15, buck 26. He'll be starting week one. If there's any bets out there that you can place on any websites, that's the one you want to bet. Deshaun Watson looked like the adult in the room. Dylan Gabriel, great. Shedeur Sanders, I'm a big fan of his. But Deshaun Watson looked like the adult today.
That's saying a lot about Deshaun Watson.
And it is, I know. I didn't say the responsible adult, Clint. I said the adult. That's what I said there. But he will be starting week one. And then, you know, Quinshon Judkins had himself a couple carries that was there. When you're talking about on the, you know, they're reimagining their offense. That's for sure. Casey Concepcion is going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of targets. That is for sure. And again, I'm talking about all of this from a fantasy football perspective right now. Like, I got my fantasy cap on and I'm thinking like, okay, you know, last year, Quinshon Judkins was a guy for you, right? I mean, that was your guy. Harold Fannin Jr. was your guy. If you picked up Harold Fannin Jr. in the middle of your season last year, you felt like a winner because Shedeur Sanders couldn't throw it to anybody else but him, right? So there are opportunities for even on bad teams for you to find, you know, a gem that you might, you know, want to put on your fantasy squad. For the Bears, nobody today you'd want to put on your fantasy team. Nah, you shouldn't go that deep dive and draft somebody. Unless you're like a super homer and you want to put Cairo Santos on your team, for sure. 39 for 39 and extra points last year. We have zero problem with that. But everybody else that played today, can't imagine it. Can't imagine that you would waste a roster spot or pick up a roster spot. Sam Roush is out there. That's a big dude. Slow as molasses, but a big dude. 2 catches on the day, 15 yards, targeted 3 times. They kept talking about the 13 personnel. Obviously, he'd be your third tight end in that situation alongside Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. Big dude, though. Glad that he caught the ball. Like, big dude. I didn't love the pick, got to be honest. Third-round pick, Sam Roush, not my favorite. But I'm not there scouting players. I'm not in the scouting department. So clearly they know more than I do, and I hope they're right. That's the good thing, right? As a fan, you can have your opinion, but ultimately you hope that the guys that are getting paid millions of dollars to do these things, maybe not the scouting department, but the coaching staff, etc., that they are making the right decisions on said players, right? And whether that is snagging Logan Jones a little bit earlier than maybe most would have thought, Xavier Thomas a little earlier than most would have thought, trading up for a Malik Muhammad. Like, there are moves that the Bears made that were interesting. And so the hope is that it all plays out and pans out, you know, over the course of a season. But Sam Roush, again, was there. Caden Davis, 4 catches, 88 yards, leading all receivers on the day. Rayburn McLeod, 3 catches for 63. He had that 28-yard conversion on 4th-and-2. Savon Ahmed, as I mentioned, 3 catches, 55 yards, had that 49-yard dump off from Case Keenum that resulted in a touchdown. Maurice Alexander, 3 catches for 42. I mean, there's some big, when you talk about big plays, and I know Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes will argue at the actual amount of yardage that it takes to get a big play, but, you know, you're looking at 6 receivers that had catches over 18 yards. That says a lot. Scotty Miller, 18. Maurice Alexander, 25. I'm talking about the yardage of their longest catch. Savon Ahmed, 49. Rayburn McLeod, 28. Caden Davis, 41. And then, of course, the sixth one was J.P. Richardson, who was your preseason darling last year, right? We can always find them. And, you know, both myself and Mark Grody, we had a healthy conversation as I was filling in yesterday on Raheemy Harrison Grody. It was Mark and I broadcasting live from Gallagher Way, and we both shared our love for preseason football, that it just didn't matter who was playing and if the starters were going to be there. we enjoyed it because you can find guys like J.P. Richardson to cheer for. And we said, just like some people like finding underground hip-hop artists before anybody else, before they get popping, that's what preseason is. Your opportunity to kind of be a talent evaluator in your own right and pick somebody up. Well, fortunately for you, you get more of Gabe and Grody. G&G, top of the hour, 6 o'clock, we bring in Mark Grody. He was there at the game in the locker rooms to get an opportunity to really pick his brain and find out what stood out to him the most. Was it the fact that Case Keenum might be your number two quarterback? I don't know. We'll ask Mark Grody on the other side. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way till 7:30 right here on 104.3 The Score.